We'll open up to Proverbs chapter 4. Y'all there?
Yeah.
Spence Pesky. You know, it seems like in the last little bit, a lot of the people I talked to, God's people, seem to really be kind of struggling with, I guess you'd say, just hope and happiness and all that stuff. And maybe it's because a lot of the people I hang around with is in a midlife crisis or what. I don't know what it is, but, you know, and I have my times where I wrestle through things, and you look at the world and what's going on, and, man, one of the things God showed me, I hope it encourages you, one of the things God showed me this week is, you know, I talked about last Sunday, God's people ought to be some of the most hopeful and happiest people, and I just want to say that, you know, even though, and the Bible talks about this, if the world falls down around us, our hope's not in this world. And we can still have a, I just want to start my message off by saying life can be really, really good. It can be. And you know, most of the things in our life are a choice. It's a choice. And I know there's some things that happen to us, you know, and things that come about that we don't have a choice in. You know, you don't have a choice in what family you're born in. You don't have a choice in some of the things that maybe other people do. But you do have a choice in how you respond to that. And a majority of things in our life is a choice, starting with our attitudes. And I want to look at Proverbs chapter 4. And just show you what the Bible says about that. No matter what's going on around us, it doesn't control us. You don't let the world control your attitude or control your relationships with your family and the things that bring us true joy. So starting in chapter 4, we're going to start off, let's see where I want to start. I want to start in we'll start in 14, okay? In 14. Well, we start 13. It says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter, watch this, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Now, you know, this is not only the Lord speaking here, but this is Solomon, and he's given wisdom to his children, to his son, but also it's God giving wisdom to us, speaking to us as his children. And he's just emphasizing, you know, there's basically two paths. Later in Matthew, Jesus talks about the path, you know, the broad way that leads to death and the narrow way that leads to life. And there's few that find it. And so when we look at these paths, he starts off talking about the path of the wicked. And he's just like, just stay away from it. Don't toy with it. Don't walk on it. Don't wonder about it. Just stay off of it. It says in verse 16, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Here's the main scripture I want you to see underlined. You ought to memorize it and speak it to your family every day. It says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto a perfect day. That means from the point in time that you become a born-again believer, you have a choice. Our life should be very different from what the world looks like, and it should get brighter and brighter and brighter because you're walking closer and closer to the Lord, and God's teaching you and giving you instruction. He's giving you hope, and he's revealing his glory and his power and his goodness in your life. And so by choice, my day doesn't have to be gloomy. I don't always have to be negative and critical, you know, and pick out all this gloom and doom business. Like I'll give you a lot of information. Here's a little information for you. The world's going to do what it's going to do. It's always going to be dark. It's always going to be wicked. It always has been since the sin fall. Man's always been like man is, okay? And I know, so things are getting a whole lot worse. And you know what? They're going to keep getting worse and worse and worse in the world. But then he's not talking to the world. We're different from the world. And I want to emphasize this morning. If you're here and you're a born-again believer, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are not a sinner in the sight of God. Like, hold on a second. Listen to me. You are not, if you're still labeled as a sinner in the sight of God, then your sins haven't been forgiven. Positionally, you are a son, a daughter, or a saint. And we need to start living like that, because if you always view yourself as a sinner and all you do is focus on your falls and your fails and sin and the darkness and the misery and all that, you're leading your family in the path of the wicked, in the way of destruction. You're going to be miserable. You're always going to feel defeated and disgraced and moving towards death. And God's like, we need to look at the power of God's grace and his salvation and receive that in our life to go, no. I had somebody say this week to me, like, well, you know, we're just sinners and we kind of gravitate towards sin. I'm like, no, don't tell me that. I don't label me. I'm not saying we're self-righteous. I'm saying by the blood, holy by the blood of Jesus, by the grace of God, if you have been forgiven for your sin, positionally, you are a son and a daughter of God. You are a prince or a princess in the kingdom. You're a king and a priest. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. And when you start living out what you are spiritually, and I understand we all have flesh, and I don't even like to go, well, you know, we're all just going to sin. Like, you know what? We all could fight against it. We all could walk. The more that I walk in the light, think about this, the more that I gravitate towards light, the less darkness I'm going to have in me. And it's all about Jesus, okay? It's not about us. And so it says that our way is brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. That perfect day is the day you see the Lord. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So I'm going to start right there and talk to you about the path of the wicked. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that part, but it's the broad way. And here's the thing, it's the way of the majority. Jesus said most people are walking on the path of the wicked. I mean, I also say this, I'm real careful how I say this, but you can be a child of God and be walking on the path of the wicked. And you'll suffer the consequences. There's a difference between the punishment or the judgment for sin and the consequences for sin. You understand? If your kids do something stupid, you can forgive them and not give them the punishment for their stupidness. But there could also be consequences that naturally come about from the choices that they made. So a child of God can choose to walk on the path of the wicked, and you'll get what the wicked has for you. But it's the most popular way. Now, I'll give you a reference. I won't go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 talks about it. So instead of getting all the details, I just kind of bunch it up. What is the path of activities on the path of the wicked? It revolves around the sexual sin and lust, the love of money and possessions, what I call delusional happiness. Delusional happiness is alcohol, drugs, entertainment. It means I found this thing that makes me happy for a minute, and then it goes away. When the effects of this thing goes away, then the happiness that I delusionally think it produces goes away. You with me? It's not a continual overflowing from the inside. It's something that you think that you're happy because for a minute there you got high, or a minute there you got buzzed or drunk, whatever you want to say. It's delusional. It's the devil. That's what it is, okay? And then there is what the Bible speaks of, violence, hating, and hurting others. And most of the time, the last one, the violence, the hate, and hurting others, comes when the first three fall apart. And they're always going to fall apart. You know, and violence can go from anywhere from speech all the way to murder. It comes from emptiness and hopelessness, depression, pride, anger, and the hurt that the first three produce. When you walk in the sexual sin and lust and love of money and possession, delusional happiness, you will always come up. And like I say, there's consequences. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap. Sin always has a reap, and it's always miserable. It always leads to these things that cause us to look up and go, I'm so empty. I can't find life. Don't know why I can't be. And then we always ask the question, why is this happening to me? And all these different things. Like, if you're always asking yourself these questions, you need to stop for a second, be honest with yourself, and go, I need to make sure what path that I'm walking on? Is the path that I'm walking in life getting brighter and brighter unto a perfect day? Or is the path I'm walking on continue to lead me to depression and disgrace and you know, misery and criticism and judging and anger and violence and all that stuff? You understand? If you're on that path, you're on the path of the wicked. Get off of it. Y'all with me?
Amen.
You know, and here's the thing. It seems normal because this is what we see in the majority of people. You can walk on the path of the wicked, and here's what we do. Like, well, I'm no different from everybody else. This is just life. We accept it. If you're not careful, you just begin to accept it. You're like, well, this couple has all these problems, and this couple has all these problems, and these kids have all these problems, this family has all these problems, this church has all these problems, this dude. It's just the way life is. I'm like, nah, it don't have to be like that. It don't have to be like that. You don't lump everybody up into the same thing, go, this is just life, because I want to go, for me and for a lot of people I know, Jesus absolutely changed the path that we're on and changed the life that we live and changed the attitudes that we have. If I so choose to walk that path, the life that Jesus gives is very, very, very different than the life I used to live. I can promise you that. And a lot of you that knew me back then will attest to that. But here's the thing. We stay on that pathway because so many people are on it, and we wonder why we keep stumbling and crashing around in life. You know, it's like this. You lived in your house long enough, you can get up pretty much at nighttime, depending on how much furniture you got, and you can move through your house without turning on a light. You know, if you get up, you can find your way to the restroom without turning on a light, and you can go into the kitchen and at nighttime and get cookies and a snack if you need one. You know, I pretty much navigate my way through my house at nighttime because I'm familiar with it until a grandkid leaves a toy out or somebody has a piece of exercise equipment that looks like a step. When you kick in the middle of the night, break your toe and crash through the living room, you're like, what just happened? Y'all with me?
Oh, yeah.
And so you understand what that was. If you can walk in the path of the wicked, you can live and look just like the world, and you can go, I'm just familiar with this. This is where I'm at. I'm comfortable, even as a child of God. And all of a sudden, you know, you're always going to find something to kick, something that's going to break you, something that you all of a sudden your life's going into a crash, and familiar isn't so familiar anymore, and you're like, what just happened? It's always that way. Y'all with me? And so we're going to look at the path of the Son. I think it's the path of the S-U-N and the path of the S-O-N. The path of the Son, like it says, gets brighter and brighter. It's the path of following Jesus. It is good living. You've heard of the term, I'm just soaking up the sun. Have you ever been duck hunting? I duck hunted a little, not nowhere near as much as I deer hunting, but something about duck hunting always seems like you're freezing to death. And I went on a duck hunt one time, my boys was little, and me and Willie and I think Brian Johnson, a few people went, and we were so poor back then that we wrapped the boys up in trash bags. We didn't have waiters, so we wrapped the boys up in trash bags and duct taped around them, and we carried them in. And what happened was Colton Williams, he was with us. I packed him in on my shoulders, and we walked, gosh, back then I couldn't do it now, back 500 yards to a duck hole. It was cold that morning. I got him back there. I was like, all right, I'm going to ease you off. And you just stand still till I move you. We're going to put you up around that dry patch of ground. And Colton just went, when he hit the water. Anyhow, I grabbed him. I was like, hey, we're duck hunting. And so we all got wet and got cold. And I remember that morning, Colton was sitting there. He was good about it, but his lips were turning blue. And I'm looking at when Willie's just, and I'm like, man, we might ought to take the boys back to the truck before they die. And I told Willie, it was a good hunt that morning. So I said, y'all stay here. I'll carry the boys back. So I'd carry Colton a little ways, and I'd carry Jeremy a little ways. And we was all wet. And I can remember when I got to a place where the sun was shining on us, it was just like a heater. I'm like, this feels so good. You know what I'm saying? And when the sun's shining on you, it's good. And when you've been through something like that. And so that's the life that Jesus has for us. He wants us to walk in the light of the sun and to have a good life. And I'm not talking about the American dream. I'm talking about a good spirit, a good hope, good relationships, those kind of things that the Bible teaches us that are lasting. And this path, I want you to notice the trailhead of this begins at the cross of Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 18, the path of the just. the path of the just. Just means justified. It's a people who have been radically changed. They've went from being totally guilty to totally made just. Just means justified, never sinned. I'm going to back what I said to start with. The Bible said if you're in Christ, Romans teaches all the way through it that you have been justified. That means that because of what Jesus has done for us at the cross, this pathway begins at the cross, recognizing the innocent died for the guilty. And because of what Christ has done, I can be justified by God in the sight of God through the blood that Jesus shed for my sin. Justified means I stand in God's presence justified, never sinned. Totally innocent. Do you get that? God doesn't go, you're a sinner. You're just barely saved by grace. God's like, my grace blows sin out of the water. You understand what Jesus did wasn't a little sacrifice. It was an eternal life, world-changing, historical. Everything revolves around it. It's amazing. That's God's grace. And the more that you study it and the more you understand that, the more you walk in it and the more that you have life. And so in that, when life breaks through and you put your faith in Jesus, let me say this, a sinner, a person who is unsaved, they're guilty in their sin, they've never come to a place to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross to pay the full punishment for our sin, was buried in the grave, buried your sin in his body, rose again on the third day to say, oh death, where's your sting? Or sin, where's your sin? Grave, where's your victory? He demonstrated his power and his authority to simply go, if you trust in me, I'll save your soul. If you've never turned to Jesus and trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you're not walking on the path of the just. There's a lot of people who might try that. I'm going to be good for a little while. I'm going to go to church. Lord, that's not the path of the just. The path of the just is those whose hearts have been transformed. Their position has been translated into the kingdom of the Son. We are who we are because of who he is and what he's done. And we recognize that. You've been made innocent before God. You're in the family of God. And this is where it begins. But you can't simply stay there. Jesus didn't stay on the cross. And when you come to the place of the cross, it's not a place of, let me say, not a place of where a preacher guilts you into it or somebody scares you into it. When the cross has done its work and you understand why Christ went there for you personally, you're overwhelmed by his love for you. If you're here this morning, go, I don't know about all this Jesus stuff and this sinful stuff. I want to awaken you to sin to start with, because your sin is your enemy. It's leading you to destruction. You're going to end up in hell, period. That's the Bible. You're going to end up in hell just like every person in here would have ended apart from Jesus. Every person in here, when we took our last breath, we would be in eternal hell and darkness and torment forever and ever. That's what sin has for us. But because of Jesus, and I think there's a lot of people who don't think about that. I want to wake you up to that, because that's a reality. The devil wants to numb you. To wake you up to that. Why? Wake you up to that, to see your hope that's in Christ, that as a sinner, he loves you, and he offers you an open door to go, here's the, you know, if you've ever been to Colorado and you walked up a trail, it's called a trailhead. Here's a trailhead. This is the only pathway. This is the only door. It's one path. There's one door. There's one entrance through Christ Jesus. And once you step through that, you're on the path of the just. Amen. And you want to walk on that path and continue to grow forward in that, where you have total opportunity and hope. And here's the thing, an offer of a new beginning. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you are. If you're lost at this point, it doesn't matter. All you need is Jesus, because everything that you turn around and look back to is washed away. The Bible said he cast as far as the east is from the west. He's not going to bring it up before you anymore. For four of us, we get that and we're excited about it. You know, for the rest of you, maybe you need it. You know, you understand that? If you're not excited, I got to say this. I'm going to go a little bit over. If anybody needs to leave, you can leave. I say that every Sunday. But I'm so excited because I want you to get this. But I just go, if you're not excited about going, I'm innocent before God. God loves me. I can walk in his presence. I can expect God's blessing and favor in my life. I'm not trying to perform and keep God happy. He's happy because of Jesus. You're walking with the Lord. He sees you in his Son. You've been made holy, blameless, and perfect in his sight. If you're not excited about that, I just wonder what it would be like when you die. If you're standing in line, you know, everybody's over here, everybody's like shouting, praising God, and you're in this other line. This other line where a little bit away, you look like you're heading for a wreck because there's smoke coming and moving forward. So moving forward, like, when the reality of the punishment of your sin sets into you in your life, this was not a joke. It wasn't a myth. It wasn't a scare factor. I'm fixing to be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. And you get up to the place where you can see it and you can hear the people in torment. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like, man, I was just kidding. And pulls you out. And I wonder if you would be like, man, that's, yeah. Amen. Amen. So I hope the reality of his salvation sinks into you where you wake up Monday morning and you go like, praise God. Man, I'm excited for the day. I'm excited for what God's done for my life. He deserves all the glory I can bring him today. And it changes. And it just changes your thought process and your life and your purpose. And God becomes very real to you. And so in that, here's the thing. Life can be really, really good. Great families, great community, great hope and joy and gladness, great victories. We're going to have problems and battles. You're going to have great victories. Quit looking at the negative. You know, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, what did they do? They focused on the enemy. Oh, they're giants and we're grasshoppers and blah, blah. And they didn't go in. And then you had Joshua, his Hebrew name, Yeshua, which is the name of Jesus. He's like, oh, yeah. If God said we can do it, we can go and take it. This is our land. They're living on our land. They're trespassing on what God's given us, and we can do this. You know what? Joshua and Caleb was the only one in that generation that received the grace that God offered. The rest of them, what'd they do? They walked out in their miserable life. God went with them in their miserable life, walking the path of the wicked. He took care of them the whole time, and all they did was gripe and moan and bellyache and murmur and die. Now, which path are you on this morning? You wake up on Monday mornings griping and belly aching about your job and griping and belly aching about people that you're going to see that day and what, how long the message went yesterday and all these different things that you're just, oh, I just can't, it's Monday and I just can't, you wish your life, well, I can't wait till Saturday. Why? So I can be at home making my wife miserable instead of at work making everybody else there miserable. Or your husband. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't like what you got, change it. Because it's there. It's available to whoever wants to walk on that path. I'm going to give you three things real quick. Write down. Number one, if I'm going to walk the path of the just and it's going to get brighter and brighter, notice what it says in verse 20. My son. I want you to recognize the title. My son. Not my church member. Not my good person. My son. Give attention. Attention. You know what attention means? Attention doesn't mean I'm just sitting there. Attention means when you, if you got a dog and you want to get attention, like, hey, he tunes up and his ears tune. That's what this is a picture of. It's a picture of when you look at God's word, you're like, whoa, you're tuned in. Give attention to what? To my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Watch this. For they, what are? My words are life. To those who find them, I mean, you're seeking, you're searching after, and health, watch this, to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. First thing is, if you want to walk the path of the just and get brighter and brighter, you have to make a transfer of accounts. You have to make a transfer of accounts. Now, what do you mean by that? Most of y'all have a savings account. You got all that money stacked up in it, okay? You got a savings account, and then you have a checking account. And you have a little bit of money in the checking account. Most people do that because I don't want to spend the money. They're misers, okay? In order for you to write a check because you just found a bass boat that you're really interested in, or maybe some of you ladies found a latte, whatever it is, okay? So you find this. You're on Amazon being your husband's worst nightmare. Amen. But you don't have. Whew, that's going to be a discussion. Nathan, that totally blew my. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, okay. In order for you to get what you desire, a lot of times you have to make a transfer from your saving to your checking because you can't write a check out of your savings, at least as far as I know. When you're saved, you have an account of God's grace, righteousness, love, goodness. We can go on and on. And that's always there. It's an unending account. It's overflowing. Where sin abounds, grace hyper abounds. But you understand, a lot of us have it, but we're not transferring it. We don't go from the pages to our mind or our heart in order that we can draw and attain what God's provided for us. You understand? Does that make sense? I'll see if I... Notice he mentions three things here. Eyes, ears, and then he says, find. This signifies access. Access to what? Your eyes, your ears, or access to your heart. The Bible says, and we'll read it here, just say, it says, guard your heart. Be diligent to keep your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Remember what Jesus said? From out of the heart speaks, the mouth speaks the word out of the heart. That means this. Most of us are trying to live from the outside in. If you don't like the way your life's going, you need to get something inside, because everything you experience is coming from the inside out.
That's right, amen.
It means I've got all this misery. You know why? Because you have misery in your heart. These people, it ain't the people, it ain't your husband, it ain't your wife. You've got hate and bitterness in your heart. And if I want to have a good relationship, they don't need to change. I need to put something in here so that it comes out. Does that make sense? There has to be a transfer of accounts. Outward living comes from an inward life. And so here's the thing. If you don't get nothing out of this message, I want to go, if you want your life to change and to be good, somehow we, as a pastor, it's probably the most important thing to me, we have to get, and as a dad and as a granddaddy, you know, my most important thing is we have to get what's in these pages inside of here. When the Bible speaks your heart, it's talking about your thought process, your mind, the center of who you are. It's not talking about your soul, your spirit. If I want the power of life and health, and I want the power of what is offered, what Christ is in these pages, lost people can read the pages, they can memorize them, they can know them, they can quote them, but they don't see the benefit or the power of the pages, because God's word is living. And in order for me to receive what it offers, I have to go transfer from here to here.
Right.
Now, listen to me, preacher can't do that for you. Teacher can't do that for you. Nobody. You have to decide. And I just want to encourage you here today, because I hear so many people, and I think it's the devil discouraging God's people. Go, man, I don't understand. I don't get nothing. I don't have time for it. Just start daily getting something from the page to here. Something from the page to in your spirit, and you will absolutely see a transformation. I don't care if it's daily reading. You know, you can pull it up. I did it this week online. You can get the Bible online. Just turn it on. Let the dude with this cool voice reads the scripture to you. You know, I sit there and listen. I listen to most of the book of Matthew just because his voice. Like, man, he's just so easy to listen to. You know, there's so many ways. Do a daily devotional. Get the daily bread. Read it. Just put something inside of you that you have the hope to come out of you. If you don't put nothing in, you're going to starve to death spiritually and wonder why life is miserable and your spirit's miserable, because you're empty. Starving to death. You don't see starving people running around having joy and giving hope and speaking life. You know why? They're consumed. They're consumed. And if we're not in God's word and we don't put God's word in us, then I don't know what to expect other than more misery. And it's not about knowledge. It's about Jesus. Don't go to the Bible going, I want to know when the Lord's coming back. Just know the Lord who's coming back.
That's right.
You go to the scripture so that you can learn of him. I want to give you this. I want to give you this real quick. Think about this. Jesus, when he was talking to the two people on the road to Emmaus after he rose from the dead. No, I'm telling you wrong. He did speak scripture. He's talking to the Pharisees, talked to the religious people, and he said, in the scripture, you say that you have life. Search the scripture. I'm not quoting him. He said, search the scripture. He's talking about even the Old Testament, and in it, you'll see me. When I go to the scripture, I don't want to, hey, I'm going to catch you thing that I can do a Facebook post about, and everybody go, wow. Well, you know, when you look at the scripture, just go search for Jesus. He's in Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 21, whatever the last verse is. Everything to do in the scripture speaks of his glory and of his life and of his mercy and of his grace and of his offerings and of his blessing and of his benefit. When you go to the scripture, I don't care if it's Nahum. Jesus is in Nahum. Jesus is in Matthew. He's in every book of the Bible. And when I study, I want to see him and go, man, I want to know him and I want to test him. I want to put the Bible in effect in my life. You know, I've got to share this with you real quick. And Cannon was looking for a truck. And at his age, you know, that's a huge important thing. And he got really discouraged because it wasn't working out. His old truck's kind of coming apart. And he's like, man, I want a truck. And he asked the guys on Wednesday night. He's like, y'all pray for me about my truck situation because he didn't have any hope in that. Like, we're going to pray about that. You know why? Because God cares about what you care about.
That's right.
He's like, God cares about a truck. If you don't pray about a truck, it's probably why you're breaking down all the time, all right? Yeah. But we gather around, and we're like, we prayed for the truck. And I told Ken, I said, now how serious do you want us to pray? I mean, he's like, if God does something here, are you like really going to give him glory? Because you are, I pray a lot. But if you're just going to kind of like, I ain't going to pray a whole lot. And he's like, I need a truck. I'm like, all right. And we prayed. And it was so awesome because we're the door shut. And I told Cody this week, because he had a thing he was kind of discouraged about. I'm like, Cody, I'm telling you two different stories. I was like, Cody, if you don't believe God can do that, y'all need to cancel this tour you're going on because you're serving the wrong God.
Right.
We serve the God who raises the dead to life, who takes that which is not and makes it as though it always was. And you know, last night I got a post, and what it was? It was a truck that God opened a door for him to get a truck in 2 days where there was no hope. I'm like, boy, do you see who Jesus is? God is real, and he's about everything in our life.
Not just any truck.
Not just any truck. It is a nice truck. You know, and here's where I'm at for all you people who are scouted up right now going, God don't want you to have nice things. Then why do you spend your whole life trying to work to attain it? You're going against God? Like, God does care. He cares about everything in our life when he's first. When we look to him, I pray about everything, and I'm going to give glory to God for everything. And if I can't give him glory for it, I don't need to be involved in it. Let's transfer. Let's give you the second thing real quick. Get you out of here. Second thing is you got to keep your mind because the world's losing theirs. Keep your mind. Watch this. Verse 23, it says, keep your heart. It's talking about your thought process, who you are on the inside, your spirit. Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. That means I need to guard what comes in. All this negative poison. I'm going to go through this quick for you, okay? Watch this. What we listen to, look in verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Now, that's not just talking about us. It's talking about people around us. There's some things in life you need to put away. Gossip, what I call yakking. You know, we always got to yak about somebody in a critical, negative way. That's all that does is come inside of you, bitterness and hate. And you understand what I'm saying? If you're around a group, you have a community that likes to gossip and yak, you need to get out of that community. You need to put that community out of your life. Put them away. That's not the love of Jesus. Then stand up for Jesus and tell them, look, y'all, we ain't talking about this anymore. It's dishonoring to God. I don't want to hear it. I don't want it coming in me because it's going to come out when I get home with my little woman and my kids and my church family and lost people I'm around. So don't be feeding me your negative, critical, gossiping crap. Because that's what it is. You shouldn't say that. Yes, I should. Watch what you hear on the news. Some people just eat it with Fox. They got to watch it. World's going to do what it's going to do. Why in the world do you want to sit there and get mad, scream at the TV, take it out on the people around you with your bad attitude and lose all hope because you want to know what God's in charge of? Music, blah, blah, blah. You get the point? Here's what I encourage you in. Build a community that speaks words of life to you. Build you a community where you're encouraged, where you're edified, where people celebrate with you. You know, I love to come to church, especially kids. Edwin killed a smoking deer. And I'm like, David talked about that this morning. I seen it the other day. When I saw that picture, I didn't go, my gosh. Some people do that. I'm like, man, you know, it's just because he got the place and got the look and blah, blah, blah. That's a bitter, critical, hateful, negative spirit. Get away from me. Right. I don't want you in my community. Amen. I want to be in a community that celebrates the high fives. Like, man, that's awesome. Even if I don't kill one, it's still awesome for you. You see God's goodness and glory in your life. Man, give God praise for that. You know? Then you got to watch what you look at. Look what it says in verse, I'm almost done. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Say, there's two access to the hearts, the ears and eyes. Watch what you listen to. Watch what you're looking at. Social media. Don't think I need to elaborate on that. Google. Here's the one I want to talk about just a second. Advertisements. You know what advertisements are? Depressing. Because usually it's advertising something I want that I can't get, or I'd already have it. Or it's projecting something that that people look at and go, if I had that, then I'd be smiling like these people on there. No, you'd be in debt and miserable most of the time. And so I need to stay away. Here's my thing. I need to stay away from advertisements, and I need to stay away from people who advertise. There are some people I can't go shopping with. I'm not saying they're my enemy, but I can't go places with them because they have all this stuff and they have access, and that's good for them. But if we always got to go at the best places and have the best stuff and spend the most money and run with that crowd, I don't run with that crowd. And I'm okay with that. But some people, don't put yourself in a place where it causes you to be envious and covetous and all that stuff, because you can't do what some people do.
Right.
And some people, they want to advertise it. They want you to know what they have cost this and what they have cost that. And if you ain't doing that, then you're just a little person. And all that. I'm like, nah, I don't think I'm going to be around you very long at all. I'm going to be around some poor folk that enjoy the poor things that we have. Not poor, you know what I'm saying. Average people who enjoyed average living and happy with what we got, content and thankful to the Lord for the blessing in his life. I might not have 10,000 acres to hunt. I might have 10 acres to hunt. So I'm going to be around people who hunt on 10 acres. Unless you got 10,000 acres and you want to invite us to hunt. Last thing is, get this, ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet. Notice what it says in verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. What does that mean? Set some goals. Biblical all the way through it. Don't have time to show you this morning, but we ought to be a people who set goals. It's good to have dreams, even if you don't attain it. You know why? Because it puts your focus on something ahead, and it keeps you walking in a good direction. Wandering doesn't do anything but cause trouble. If you don't have a goal, you don't have a dream, if you ain't pointing your kid in a direction, think about this. When you shoot a bow, you want to point it in the right direction. I know you ladies love all the hunting illustration. You want to point it in the right direction. Why? Because one of these days, you've got to let go of that arrow. And wherever direction it's pointing in is where it's headed to. Your kids are like an arrow. Your life is like an arrow. It needs to be pointed in a direction, because you got to let it go one of these days. And if you ain't pointing your kids and your grandkids and your life in a direction, who knows where it's going to land? Goals and dreams are good. Where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in eternity? Those are things you better think about. Those are things that keep us on the path of the just. So I finished this morning ago. So if you're on a path, you're on it. The path that you're on is darkness and destruction. Let me just say this. Jesus offers you an open door. Everybody here this morning, you know what the cross did? Cross opened up the door for him to go, you can come in this street. If you don't like what you're getting out there, come in right here. Enter in the straight gate. That's what it says. It's a narrow way. Few that find it. There's few people who have life like this, but he offered it to everybody. And you could turn to the Lord this morning. Trust him, follow him, believe him. Change your paths. Don't allow the world to rule over you and influence you to death. And you got to quit believing what the world's putting out there and start believing God. And life can be really good. Amen. If you want to stand with your head bowed, eyes closed this morning, have a word of prayer. Maybe you need to talk to Jesus. Lord, I love you and I thank you for life. Thank you, Jesus, that you meet us right where we are. You offer us, it's a free gift because you paid for everything. You made everything possible. God, by your grace, you just continue to reach out and offer no matter what. Lord, I just pray for somebody here today who's walking on the wrong path. Lord, that their eyes would be open to see what they're missing. It ain't about church attendance and religion and trying to do good. It's about being alive. It's about having hope. It's about being loved. It's about living with purpose. It's about having peace. It's about looking ahead without anxiety and worry. It's about being content. It's about being happy. It's about having good relationships that you mend, that you heal. Lord, I pray people would see who you are this morning and turn to you. God, move to a different path. Lord, I pray you'd raise people up and they make a choice today to make a change. God, I pray you bless this people, and I pray they would look up even just a few days from now and go, wow, following Jesus is absolutely amazing. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.